You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
Better believe it, get on your knees and pray hard, then pray hard, and never look back. Once the world forgave you, then do right, then do good. And it's so hard to do right when you do wrong, when you turn right, but you turn all the way left.
Hensha, and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima. Energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry everything, and happy always. Oh, I love Christmas. I love Christmas. Oh, I love Christmas. I'm one of those folks who, like, the day after Thanksgiving, I'm like, are y'all ready for Christmas? I love Christmas. I love the glitter. I love the light. I love the message. I love the love of Christmas. I'm Dr. Dawn Karima, and I am so thrilled that you've joined us today so we can celebrate the holidays together. Christmas is awesome. But I want to ask you, what are you going to do with Christmas? What will you do with Christmas? What does that mean exactly? Well, I mean, after the wrapping paper's taken off all the gifts and, oh, you've done everything that you needed to do and you've eaten your food with your family and all of that, what will you do with Christmas? There's 24 chapters in the book of Luke in the Bible, and we've been reading one chapter every day as part of Advent, and it's really moving my heart. It's really blessing me. But there's a great nativity story in the book of Luke in the first chapter, and we all know that one. We sing carols about it, and we have sentimental ornaments about it, and we just reflect on the beauty of the mother and child, and let's not forget Joseph, who steps up, protects and provides. There's angels and shepherds and wise men and star, and it's just a beautiful, wonderful thing. And then there's another nativity in the book of Luke. Another scene that looks a lot like the nativity scene that we see first. Chapter 2. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Can you imagine that? You're just going through your life. You have a near miss on the highway, but you haven't seen the Lord's Christ, so you know it's going to be all right. Doctor's report doesn't come back so well, but you have a word from God, and you know you can't die until you've accomplished your mission. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. You notice that he came by the Spirit? It's so important to be in the right place at the right time and never in the wrong place at the wrong time. And the Holy Spirit will help you do just that. I'm really serious about that. I think the Holy Spirit will lead God and direct you, and he'll put you in divine connections and opportunities and open doors and favor and blessings, you know, and people call it serendipity or they call it coincidence, but it's really by the Spirit. by the Spirit. Go to church by the Spirit. Go to the grocery store by the Spirit. You know, in these dangerous, perilous times, we've got to live and walk by faith. But we've got to be led by the Spirit. You know? There's some times when I just thank God that I didn't even have a reason, but the Spirit just led me to go a different way, or not to go there that day, or not to do this, or not to do that. Then took he him up in his arms, and blessed God, and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them. That's amazing. That's amazing. This man had a word from God, a promise from God, and it was fulfilled to him. And that little picture of the mother and the father and little Jesus, it makes us think of the first nativity scene that we see, where it's Jesus and Joseph and they're in the manger scene that we're so familiar with. But here they are again, a holy family. Anna gives thanks. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years. Oh, my. Which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. You know, that's amazing. That's amazing. I know that for a lot of us, the holidays have been hard, different times, happy, different times. Maybe folks are lonely on the holidays. And yet here is someone, Anna is disappointed, I'm sure. She's been a widow for 84 years. That's a whole lifetime. She only had her husband for a short time. Doesn't mention any children, doesn't mention any, relationships and friends and family, none of that. And yet, such a great disappointment, an entire life of disappointment, really. Grief, sorrow. And one thing about Anna, it says she departed not from the temple but served God. There are some things you go through that can make you better, and there are some things that can make you bitter, and the only person who can decide that outcome is you. I mean, this is tremendous. This, you know, what a disappointment, what a heartbreak. And yet she turns to God and uses her life to serve him. In fact, she could have said, you know, hey, I'm really disappointed. Why didn't God change this? Why didn't God fix this? I had a season of grief in my life. Thank God it's over. But I had a season of grief where just one thing happened after another for just a couple of years. And heartbreaking, each one, disappointing blows. And at one point, I literally had to get down on my hands and knees and the mourner's bench at church and say, Lord, please don't let me get mad at you because you're the only one that can help me. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned unto Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom. The grace of God was upon him. A wonderful prayer for every parent, all of us that are parents, that our children grow and wax strong in spirit and are filled with wisdom and the grace of God is upon them. It's a wonderful verse to pray over our children, our grandchildren, nieces, nephews, godchildren, students, the world of children. What will you do with Christmas? I mean, I know that usually we talk about angels and shepherds and, you know, Oh Holy Night, and that's all wonderful. But I believe the story of Simeon and Anna is very much related to Christmas, because Christmas is all about Christ. What will you do with Christmas when you wipe the crumbs of the last Christmas cookie off your face? What will you do with Christmas? What will you do? We have two pictures here of what can be done. Two righteous people. Simeon is so very righteous that he has a word from God, a promise of his life, and the witness of Christ. Anna is righteous in that she is called a prophetess, right? I mean, she's legit. And the Bible says that she spends all her time in the temple and prays and fasts and serves God. Both people are righteous. But they do something very different with Christ. Simeon meets the Lord Jesus Christ, and he sees him, and he blesses God, and he says, "Now, Lord, now let us thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." It's called the Nunc Dimittis, now dismissed. In other words, he meets Jesus, he comes face to face with him, he holds him. Can you imagine? Oh, it's so wonderful to hold a baby in your arms, and this is the baby of all babies. This is the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and he holds him in his arms. Oh, and then he says, okay, I'm good. Let me go. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Now the word we were told was that he should not see death before he'd seen the Lord's Christ. We didn't hear that he would die immediately after seeing him. We don't see that God said, you know, now the day you see Jesus, that's it, it's over. But he says, yeah, it's over, I'm done. I've seen the Lord, I've met him, I've held him, I have received him, literally, taking him in my arms. And I am ready to go. Well, he prophesies. That's beautiful. He blessed the Lord. He prophesies. He blesses Mary and Joseph. And that's just great. He prophesies. It's beautiful. What will you do with Christmas? Well, let's look at what Anna did. She was a prophetess, the survivor of a tremendously broken heart, a long time to be hurt. And yet she serves God. She praises God. And it says that when she came in, she gave thanks to God. I love what Luke chapter 2, verse 38 says, and she coming in that instant. There's that timing again. Timing is everything. If you do the right thing at the wrong time, it's the wrong thing. You know, right? Only instant obedience is obedience. You have kids, you know that. You tell them to wash the dishes or clean their room and they don't do it till next Tuesday. That's not obedience. So this just reminds us to pray and believe God for timing in our life. We all have those experiences that we wish we could do over again, or we wish we had done differently. Timing is a big part of that. Be ready. In season, out of season. Well, Anna, it says, and she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord. So she gave thanks. Simeon gave thanks. Everybody's thankful. This is a wonderful occurrence. I mean, thank God. Prophecies fulfilled, years of waiting, finally redeemed. This is beautiful. But what will you do with Christmas? What did Anna do with Christmas? Let's look at it. And spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Anna's elderly too. She's been there a long time. But her response to Jesus is that she becomes an evangelist. she was a prophetess, you know, praying and fasting and serving God and interceding probably and prophesying probably and moving this thing forward. But now that it's here, she's an evangelist. She's actually telling people, oh, he's here. The wonderful, wonderful Prince of Life, the author of life, the desire of nations, he's here. She met him. She saw him. She blessed him. She gave thanks for him. And now she's telling everyone who looks for redemption. I think that's important, too. Know your audience, right? I mean, she didn't just go tell random people that didn't care, but she said she told people that were already looking for redemption in Israel. That's beautiful. In other words, Anna started a new ministry. her wonderful ministry of fastings and prayers now had an expansion to telling people the good news. The good news. Good news. People who sat in darkness have seen a great light. Good news. Oh, good news. It's good news that Jesus is here, and she's telling people about him. And I look at this and I think, what will you do with Christmas? What will I do with Christmas? Christmas is a time when people are especially tender-hearted. They're open. They're searching. They're seeking. They're willing to listen a lot of times. I know people that don't even believe in God, and they are ready to, you know, think the nativity scene is beautiful. I know people of different religions and faith, and they are moved by the angels and the star and a baby. How wonderful. What will you do with Christmas? What will you do with Christmas? Have an extra helping of, Christmas ham or Christmas roast or turkey? Or are you going to, maybe put up your stockings or bake some cookies or make some special treats, drink some eggnog? All of that is wonderful and fun and great. But what will you do with Christmas? See, there's this moment where all of us come face to face with Christ in Christmas. Whether it's Christmas Eve or Christmas Day or the full Christmas season, our family celebrates all 12 days of Christmas up till Epiphany. There's moments where every time we say Merry Christmas, we are reflecting on the beautiful, wonderful Savior who came for us. What will you do with Christmas? Simeon met the Christ, prophesied, praised God, and said he was done. He was ready to kick back, and he was ready to leave the scene, and he was ready to go to be with the Lord, which is a wonderful thing to do. I mean, he's an elder. He's had a wonderful life. He's a blessed man. He wants to go. He's finished. He's tired. It's done for him. And then there's Anna, who this is just the beginning. All the waiting, all the hoping, all the praying, all the fasting, all had one purpose. And here he is. Anna met the Lord of her life and told everyone who was looking for him that he was here. What will you do with Christmas? What will you do with Christmas? Will you enjoy it and have a great time for yourself, then turn the page on the calendar and move on into the year, the new year? Or will you take this moment to show the love of Christ to everyone you meet? We're blessed to be a blessing. Will you open your presents and have plenty of food and lots of leftovers and to-go plates and a freezer full? Or will you also think about the poor, the lonely, the brokenhearted? Will the love that fills your heart this Christmas spill over like a teacup that's full and it goes into the saucer? Or if you put too much drink in your cup at the restaurant, you know, where they have the self-service drinks and you fill it up and it spills over the side. What are you going to do with all this love at Christmas? Who are you going to call and comfort? Who are you going to pray for? Who are you going to donate to? Who are you going to somehow show that Christ is here? And that love has a name. And as my granddaddy used to say, love has arms and legs. What are you going to do with Christmas? What are you going to do with Christmas? When you get all the new presents and the new things, what are you going to do with the things you have? You're going to clean your closets and donate to the poor? Share with someone else who needs something that now you have something even better? Are you going to buy gifts for yourself and your household, but are you going to include gifts for someone who is lonesome, someone who is without, someone who is in lack or poverty, someone who just would love a touch from another person at Christmas? What will you do with Christmas? Simeon or Anna? What will you do with Christmas? What will I do with Christmas? I'm doing it right now. I'm telling everyone who's listening to me how good God is, that Jesus loves you, that there is good news to be found in your life, that you have a Savior who came just for you. That it's not just a pretty picture to put on a Christmas card, but it's real, true love. When Jesus was brought before Pontius Pilate, I always think it's amazing that Pilate says to him, "What hast thou done?" And I think that's an amazing question, because Anna tells everyone what Jesus is going to do. That he's here to save us, that he's here to redeem us, that he's here and he's our Messiah. And Pilate asks Jesus, "What hast thou done?" And at that point, shortly before the crucifixion, Jesus is about to do the most amazing thing. He's about to redeem us all from hell and sin and death and the grave on the cross and in the resurrection. But between Christmas and Easter, Jesus did some amazing things. He healed the sick, saved the lost, cleansed the lepers, opened blind eyes, performed miracles, fed the hungry, blessed the children, forgave people, set people free from their bondage, made some friends. Gave us wise, wise scripture. And did everything that he promised to do. And guess what? God says about himself, "I am the Lord, I change not." And so between Christmas and Easter, between the nativity and the cross, Jesus still heals. He still has food for the hungry, salvation for the lost. He still has love for the lonely. He still has forgiveness for the sinner. He still has wisdom for the saints. What will you do with Christmas? What will you do with Christmas? What will you do with Christmas? Well, Simeon's not wrong. Anna's not wrong. They just have very different responses to meeting the Lord's Christ. Which one will you be more like? Will you have Christmas and say, "Wow, that was a good Christmas. Well, we had a good Christmas." And go to bed and get up the next morning and go on with life as if nothing has changed? Or will you say, "Wow, what a Savior. What a good Christmas. It's just the beginning. I'm going to take the love of Christ to this hurting world, to the people around me that need it, and I'm going to apply some to myself. What will you do with Christmas? I hope that you'll make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. I hope that you will pray and receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior, as your Lord. But remember, he was the friend of sinners. He loves you so much. And that decision to let Jesus Christ be the light of the world and the light of your life will help you decide what to do with Christmas. And if you're serving the Lord right now, what will you do with Christmas? Who around you needs the love of Christ? Who right within your neighborhood or your family or your friends or your workplace or your life, your grocery store, your everywhere you go, even if you don't go anywhere, who on social media, who do you follow or who follows you, who just needs the love of God? What will you do with Christmas? I'll let you think about that while we go to commercial. Thank you to all of our sponsors. Thank you to everyone at this great network who makes this show possible. Thank you most of all to God, who gives us the opportunity to bring this program to you. Merry Christmas. We'll be right back after these messages.
Yeah, oh Lord, can you come and save her? Let her believe they get on their knees and pray hard. They pray hard and never look back once the world forgave you.
The hardest thing to do at times is to make changes in your routine. Don't let that hold you back.
Wait a minute. They told us we had an oil shortage. Well, yeah, I guess in a way we are running out of oil.
I'm Wes.
I'm Tia.
And I'm Heather.
And we are Three Voices.
You want this drum over here? It's clear. You got Gilbert over here. You got LeBron over here. And guess what? We talking about
it. I'm trying to get over the dog whistle politics thing because I can't hear it and dogs supposed to hear it. So who hears the dog whistle?
Your opportunity is now to get up-to-the-minute information, great entertainment, and stimulating talk programs on your computer. Yes, I said your computer. Just log on to TalkTainmentRadio.com, click Listen Live to hear a program. The blogs and podcasts are up and running. TalkTainmentRadio.com can also be heard on your cell phone.
Yes, I said cell phone.
TalkTainment Radio. We go where you go.
If you don't clean up your room, the Board of Health is going to condemn it.
The Board of Health doesn't even know about your room. What's more, they don't care.
You know, if you keep making that face, it's going to freeze that way.
Not unless you're someplace really, really cold. Actually, a lot of the warnings moms hand out are a bit exaggerated.
If you don't get your blood pressure checked, you could have high blood pressure, not even know it, and you could die from a stroke.
But she's right about that one. Fact is, high blood pressure contributes to 200,000 American deaths each year, and a third of those who have high blood pressure don't know it. If they did, it'd be simple to treat. Call the American Heart Association at 1-800-AHA-USA1 or visit AmericanHeart.org on the web to learn more. Better still, ask your doctor to check your blood pressure.
If you run with with those scissors.
It's the least you can do.
Here's an idea. You've heard of the notion of pay it forward. It comes from the 2000 movie Pay It Forward. Basically, the premise is helping someone with no expectations of payback, providing assistance to someone, passing information on, simply doing a good deed for a total stranger, and instead of allowing them to pay it back, ask them to pay it forward. Doing favors for other people and asking them to do the same. The principle is the same as multi-level marketing, except that instead of soap or vitamins, it's generosity between strangers that is being passed on. Pay It Forward is mentoring. It's volunteering in your community. It's shoveling a neighbor's snow or cutting an elderly person's grass for them or taking a senior to the store. Don't wait for someone else to do something good. Do it yourself. It starts with you. Talktainment Radio strongly embraces the notion of pay it forward. In fact, we just did.
Hey, wake up. You can't dream your way into college. There are actual steps you need to take, steps that go beyond just getting good grades. So if you're serious about college, visit knowhowtogo.org today. Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation for Education, and the Ad Council.
Would it be crazy if you packed your bags and left? Peace Corps. Life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or visit peacecorps.gov.
Merry Christmas, happy holidays, happy new year, happy everything, all the time, always. I'm so glad you're with us today. We are so blessed to have you with us and thankful to have you with us. And, you know, we're thinking about the holidays. And when I say, you know, people say the holidays, there are a lot of holidays right now. And they're all precious, and they're all valuable, and they're all full of love and family and faith and community and all these good things that we really do love. And so I just wanted to make sure that I wish everyone who's celebrating at this season, whatever is holy and good. I'm so thankful for all the holidays and for the holiday spirit and for Christmas. And even as we think about the holidays, to give us hope for what's coming next, right? We have an opportunity to think about our future. We have a chance to think about the upcoming new year and what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. How will we spend it? What will we do? It's a blessing, really and truly. And so I want to think about a few thoughts that will help us during this holiday season, Christmas time and Christmastide. We talked about what will you do with Christmas, and I think that's a wonderful way to go through this season. How will we show the love of God to everyone during this season? And I'm thinking about one time I told my medicine man, I'm just so tired of all my problems. I was going through a trying time. I mean, nightmare material. It was just awful. So for those of you who are lonely and hurting right now, I'm so sorry. My heart goes out to you. And I told him, you know, I'm really tired of thinking about my problem, and I'm tired of praying about the same sad situation, and I'm tired of talking about grief and loss and misery all the time, and I'm tired of me right now. I'm tired of this. I'm super tired of having me on my mind all the time. And my wise friend smiled, and he said, then get busy blessing somebody else. Call them and ask them how they are doing. Pray about other people's problems. Like, take a break from praying about you and pray for them. And that's actually pretty great, you know. Even the Bible says that the captivity of Job was turned when he prayed for his friends. Cheer someone else up. Volunteer. Give. Share. Do something that takes your mind off your sorrows. Those problems will still be there when you get back, right? The situation may still be what it is. But you'll give God time to change it, and you'll be refreshed and ready to tackle those problems and that situation again with new energy. Because when you give love, you gather love. And so when you're helping other people, you are actually sowing, and you'll reap good things. And you know, my medicine man was right. Volunteering is a vacation from our own lives. And, you know, we might even realize that we feel better after helping others. We may see that we don't have it so bad after all. That has happened to me many times. Many of us, we have no right to complain. We really don't. And when we get busy helping people, we realize, oh my goodness, I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed. And I think of it this way too, that while you're serving, while you're volunteering, while you're helping, while you're comforting someone else, you literally do stop thinking about you and what's wrong and what hurts and what's bad. And so we get busy being a blessing. Clean out your closets and donate the clothing. Visit or call or check on an elder, you know. Give time or money or skills to help someone else. I have a precious friend that goes to the animal rescue, and she grooms and pets the kittens whenever she feels stressed. And the kittens provide unconditional love. And my friend feels, like, uplifted, she feels useful, and she doesn't have to think about whatever wretchedness is on her mind. And I know, right, somebody right now is saying to me, do you know how much trouble I'm dealing with right now? How can I help somebody else? I mean, you're thinking you barely have enough money to share with others and you're barely making it yourself, or maybe even you think that, you know, you're being lax or slack if you don't worry about your problem all the time, if you don't sit around and wallow in grief and misery and sorrow all the time, if you're not showing the proper respect and deference to how bad things are. And maybe you're even thinking that your own crisis needs all your time and concentration, like you really need to think about this all the time and work on this all the time and get in control of it. Well, here's a newsflash. You're never in control of it. You just have anxiety. In my own life, whenever I think I just don't have the energy, or I just don't have the, oh, I just can't do this, I'm just not up to this today, I can't help others, that's when I know I have to help others. When I think I can't do this, that's when I know I need to pray and ask God to help me do this, because something in this is going to bless other people, and something in this is going to heal me, and something in this is going to honor God. I mean, selfishness is actually a sign that our problem is damaging our perspective. My granddaddy used to say, you can't help everybody, but everybody can help somebody. And so one of the ways that you can help others, one of the greatest ways you can help others, and we see this in the life of Jesus Christ, is by being kind and merciful toward them. Most problems aren't permanent, right? And it's truly important that we do remain humble when our own storms pass over. Prepare to share your own experiences with other people who find themselves in similar situations to the hardships that you face. When we talked about Simeon and Anna, that's just what Anna did. She had been looking for the consolation of Israel. And when she met other people who were looking for redemption in Israel, she told them, I've seen Jesus. I've met him. He's here. You remember how you got out of trouble? I mean, look, just really, how many times have you been in trouble and, you know, oh my goodness, and somebody helped you? God helped you, people helped you, doctors helped you, lawyers helped you, teachers helped you, kind people helped you, somebody helped you. Even the smallest kinds of trouble, right? Just little things that have happened to us and somebody helped us. I mean, maybe it did take a few miracles, you know. Maybe it did take the prayer team. But somebody helped you. We don't have to dwell on our difficulties, because I don't think that's healthy. Because what you magnify manifests. But it sure does help us to remain humble and grateful once we get out of trouble. Like, you remember? You remember what it felt like? You remember what it sounded like? You remember how it affected you? It makes you merciful towards other people. It makes you humble about your own successes. It helps you to be patient then with people who are going through turmoil right now. Helping them through their anguish can be a good way to remind ourselves of our own blessings that we experienced even during a difficult time. I had a near-death experience. I died and came back Thanksgiving of 2011. I ended up spending Thanksgiving in the hospital, which is terrible. Thanksgiving in the hospital for a terrible, life-threatening reason, and I spent New Year's in the hospital for the blessing of giving birth to my son. So I've been in the holiday spirit in the hospital, and I've been in the holiday loneliness in the hospital. And so for those of you who are lonely right now, I hear you. I see you. We care about you. And for those of you who the holidays are a time to rejoice right now, see, my life has gotten good. I used to be so lonely at the holidays before I had a family. It was just so hard. Everybody else was buying kids toys and laughing and had cute little family moments. And I was just sort of was like, oh, no, when is it my turn? And now it is, and I'm enjoying every minute of it. But even in the midst of that, my heart has compassion because I remember what it was like to be brokenhearted at Christmas. Who can you encourage today? Who could use a text or a phone call or a message? Who might appreciate your listening ear or even your advice about what you learned during your own time of strife? Sharing wisdom or even just listening, just being present, you know, can provide a powerful way for us to bless others while we're being blessed ourselves. I don't know about you, but most of the time when I set out to help someone else, I am the one who ends up being blessed. And that is a gift. So, especially during this holiday season, when we're talking about giving, and that's not just things you buy, it's not just things that come from the store, it's not just going into debt to give people a good Christmas. It's giving love and peace and joy. Giving mercy and kindness. It's giving what we have, what we can share. It's giving prayers and the Word of God. It's giving encouragement. Who can you bless during this holiday season? How can you bless others and encourage others? And most importantly, how can you give praise and thanks to God, our faithful Creator, who has done so much for us by loving the people on this earth that He loves so very much? We're going to close with some beautiful Christmas music. We have some talented friends and guests and folks who have made Christmas songs, and we want to just close with letting you enjoy them and get in the peaceful, wonderful holiday spirit. Refresh yourself and think of ways to be a blessing. We have songs by Christopher Tsunami and Bearheart Cocopelli. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Merry everything. Happy whatever you celebrate, and bless you. God bless you. I'm Dr. Dawn Karima, and I'll see you next time.
yeah, oh Lord, can you come and save her? Better believe they get on their knees and pray hard, then pray hard. And never look back once the war forgave you. You come and save her. Better believe they get on their knees and pray hard. They pray hard and never look back once the war forgave.
You've got the power. The world's greatest radio. Talktainmentradio.com.